I'm Rachel Atwell for NPR Illinois. Illinois native A.D. Carson has earned a reputation as an important thinker and writer when it comes to race relations, past and present. He's challenging the confines of academia. His dissertation from the past academic year gained widespread recognition, in which he
recorded and performed a digital thesis project for the dissertation, the primary component of which is a 34-track rap album. And my presumption is that the reason that that is newsworthy to people is because it was not the traditional dissertation project. It was actually me presenting my voice, my recorded voice, as the, you know, as the substitute or as the actual content of the dissertation.
The album is titled Owning My Masters, The Rhetorics of Rhymes and Revolutions. This song is titled Internal Contradiction. We'll listen to a bit and then Carson explains what it's about.
Internal contradiction gives motion to things, that internal strain. And much of the time that we Homo sapiens don't realize that no matter what sort of conditions we establish, no matter what government we establish at this point, there also will be that internal contradiction that will have to be resolved and
resolved in a rational, just way.
And of course, that leads us somewhat, it's very vague on how to deal with it. And many times we claim actions are revolutionary, but really, they're not.
They want rap, not a tap dance minstrel show, so they can't help but wanna follow where my pencil go. I'm like the ghost of Wu-Tang's Bobby Digital's analog catalog trapped inside your stereo. Not mercurial, but open to change. Came during the drought when you was hoping for rain, praying the H-O-V. I was opening lanes on the right side, solo, joking and playing. It's like Beat Street meets Oscar the Grouch. Traditions that used to exist got argued about and took over. Consumerism hollowed them out. Now everybody's scratching heads like, what's the problem about? Yo, if you can't see the boogeyman but you spooked, and you can tell a lot about a tree from the roots, then it don't really matter what you do to the fruit, cause you ain't eating what you thinking is like venom to you.
And it starts off with a piece of an interview with William F. Buckley, speaking with Huey P. Newton, and Huey Newton talks about this idea of the internal contradiction, like the idea that we think sometimes that we're being revolutionary when actually we're not, or that we're upholding or perpetuating a system of oppression. And that kind of makes me think about the ways that, you know, like the rapper who is engaging in these complicated questions that I'm trying to bring up in the project might be doing a similar thing that that Newton was talking about. And then at the end, also using as a bookend, Malcolm X, who speaks to the exact same type of internal contradiction that might exist in some of our political engagements, the idea of fearing for one's own life in the face of speaking out with an unpopular opinion.
A.D. Carson was in Springfield this summer to perform downtown at the Amaranth Apple Festival. He spoke with me there. He starts by talking about how the idea for a hip-hop album generated during his time as a student at Clemson University.
I had an idea that I was going to do work that dealt with hip-hop, but I didn't realize that the circumstances at Clemson were going to lead me to facing the kinds of challenges that existed there and the ways that they needed to be faced. And as I was living that reality day to day, it changed the scope of my work, particularly the presentation of it as a rap album, because in my mind I felt that there was no better way to express the way that I felt daily on campus and the way that I felt people who looked like me, who spoke like me, were not being heard and not really being respected while being in that space. It could be represented in an academic form, like a rap album that is in conversation with so-called traditional essays. And so that changed over the course of the years that I was there.
Remind us, or for people who don't know, where Clemson University is, and then how that location might have played into what you were perceiving.
Okay, well, yeah, Clemson is located in upstate South Carolina on John C. Calhoun's former plantation. But former plantation doesn't accurately describe it, because it's a former plantation, but the plantation house is open 7 days a week. And lots of, I mean, I believe that there are lots of current day iterations of this legacy and this history that you come into contact with every day, but we never really confront that legacy or that history in any of the documentation that the university provides or in any of the legacy that it says that it celebrates on paper. For instance, there's a building that's named to honor Benjamin Tillman, but if you look at who Benjamin Tillman was, you know, a self-described white supremacist and terrorist, participated in the Hamburg massacre and was involved in the murder of Senator Simon Coker. And so at the same time that what's, you know, things that are going on around the world, like the killing of the nine people at the Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, the university tries to honor those people by framing honorary wreaths in front of the building that's named for Benjamin Tillman, who also killed a state senator. And it's because of that lack of introspection about the history that puts us in a position as an institution to attempt to honor the legacy of the people who died in the current moment, but we do it at the expense of not acknowledging how these two moments are parallel to one another. And so we actually find ourselves in alignment more with the murderer of the parishioners because of our honoring of someone who would actually celebrate what he did. You know, it's a difficult circumstance to live with day to day.
And that's an issue that's been discussed among even Ivy League schools, the kind of legacies that are presented without some of these nuances and how people are supposed to feel, especially people of color, seeing these sorts of awards and plaques and statues. So it sounds like there's just a lot culturally, obviously, of the time, of the present, different ways of looking at things now. Can you talk a little bit more about the kind of topics you wanted to address?
Well, the name of the album is Owning My Masters, The Rhetorics of Rhymes and Revolutions. And it is actually a digital archive. And the main component of it is the 34-track album. But there's also lots of other media that is associated with the project. And there are videos, and then there are some essays that were written and published in different places that dealt with some of these things, like the ways that we document history and the ways that we engage or fail to engage with history in responsible ways. And so one of the very first pieces that gained any kind of attention outside of the institution was the poem titled See the Stripes, which dealt very particularly with Clemson using the metaphor of a tiger as a mascot, and then the ways that we don't see the dark parts of the history of the university. And so essentially it's asking, if we're going to use that metaphor, can we see the stripes in the tiger rather than what the institution continues to do? And they celebrate a tradition on every Friday of called Solid Orange Fridays, where everyone wears orange and essentially looks over the fact that the tiger has stripes and needs stripes to survive.
I'm Rachel Otwell for NPR Illinois. This is a conversation with A.D. Carson from earlier this summer. We talked about his move to Charlottesville and what preceded it. Carson talks about the reception his hip-hop album / dissertation was met with.
Well, there was lots of really, really positive feedback. The idea that we are challenging what knowledge production looks like in our academic institutions, and this creates a space for access for folks who maybe have not seen themselves represented or heard their voices or voices like their voices represented in these academic spaces. And so those are the things that I really try to focus on, the ways that we do push forward this idea that we should expand what knowledge production might look like in our institutions.
And where have you found yourself now? Obviously in Springfield at the moment, but you have a new home. Tell us about that and why the move.
Oh, yeah. I'm living now in Charlottesville, Virginia, because I've accepted an appointment as the professor of hip hop at the University of Virginia in the McIntyre Department of Music.
So congratulations, and I think Springfield will have their eye out on what comes next. Any ideas, or like going to be submerged in the whole teaching process for now?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, there's going to be another project that I'm working on now as I'm writing. You know, I'm sure that folks know that in Charlottesville, there have been some really interesting headlines, particularly with the Klan's insistence on continuing to hold rallies in town to protest the memorials that exist in that town being moved. And so I've got a project that I've been writing since I've been living in Charlottesville over the summer, and as I've been traveling, talking to people about the project and talking about the new move.
After our conversation, white supremacist neo-Nazi protesters and their sympathizers descended on Charlottesville to protest the removal of a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The violence led to the death of one woman, and many others were injured. Carson was part of the counter-protests, and we spoke that weekend over the phone. I asked how all this might inform his work at the university going forward.
Well, it's proof that the work that I'm doing needs to continue to be done, and that we need to engage those questions and those topics that are brought up in the work. I've been working on a project since I've been here that speaks to that transition and what has been going on in Charlottesville since I've been here. So these are my impressions of Charlottesville and my move here in taking on the new job. The presence of those feelings that go into that work and the presence of the research, you know, you can't read these things in a book and get what happened yesterday and the day before. So to have that and then be doing the work that I'm doing, it makes me realize that this is not just a question of research or scholarship. This is a question of how we choose to live our lives and the ways that we are going to be in this world, how we're going to coexist. For some of us, how we are going to exist. The fact that there are people who believe that they have the power to allow you or disallow you to exist. I think that it's extremely important. And I think about the students, what that must feel like to them. Because if I feel this way and I'm going to be teaching classes, I can't imagine what it must be like to a 17-year-old who's committed to coming to this university and now has to contend with the fact that the alt-right and the supremacists were not only on campus, but were welcomed.
That's A.D. Carson, an Illinois native, shaping the way some of us think about academia and race. He's a professor of hip-hop at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. You're hearing music now from his performance in Springfield earlier this summer. I'm Rachel Otwell.
Trying to break out with the city is just like Clearasil. Decatur, Illinois, I call it my home. I gotta stay, but wanna go and leave the problems alone. And y'all, because we're living like crabs in a barrel, the kind of place your own guy to stab you and tell you welcome home. To how we get so ill, you never know. When it's hot, even if it's hot, we say it's cold.